Are you an accredited investor looking for a new opportunity to generate passive income and build the retirement of your dreams? Then elevate your investment game with Viking Capital, where wealth meets wisdom. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, Viking Capital can help guide you towards financial freedom through passive real estate investing. With strong and transparent underwriting, Viking identifies low-risk opportunities with the goal of preserving investor capital and maximizing long-term growth potential. And their accessible and responsive investor relations team will help you understand how each investment will impact your unique financial goals. With $800 million in assets acquired, more than $230 million in equity raised, and more than 5,000 units under management, Viking Capital is your path to early retirement. To learn about Viking Capital's latest investment opportunity, which is available for you right now, visit vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever. That's vikingcapitalinvestments.com/best ever to get started today.
Just start locally. If you're trying to be a new wholesaler, which I assume a lot of listeners are, you know, start with your own community. Start with people you know. There's probably some little old lady who wants to sell her house and move back to Alabama.
Best ever listeners, I'm so excited to share today's sponsor with you. It's Eastern Union Funding and Arbor Realty Trust. If you're in the multifamily space, you likely recognize these names, but have you used them? I'm guessing if you haven't, then you probably know someone who has. I can tell you personally, we have used Mark Belsky. He is a point person at Eastern Union Funding as a partner with us, and he has helped us secure debt for actually a deal we closed on this month. And we've worked with him. In addition, my clients, my program, my consulting program have worked with him to successfully close on deals. When we were starting out, Ashcroft was starting out, we had somewhat of a track record, but we weren't fully as established with our investor network. I went to him and we secured some equity, $500,000 in equity to fund one of our deals. While he works with more institutional partners, you know, he's brought $200 million in equity over the last 12 months. He was able to help us out there and we've built a relationship with him and Eastern Union Funding ever since. So if you need equity for your deal and you have a track record, then he's your point person. His number is 212-897-9875. If you need debt, then he partners up with Arbor on a lot of transactions. So if you're a multifamily borrower who wants agency or bridge debt, then that's the team to work with. We have worked with their team, both Eastern Union and Arbor, on deals. And people who have purchased our deals, purchased deals from us, have used Arbor, as well as my clients in my consulting program, they've used it. So this is a recommendation that comes from firsthand experience. And the last thing I'll say about working with Mark Belsky at Eastern Union is that if you need a loan guarantor but don't have that track record quite yet, then Mark can look at what you've, the deal you've got, and assuming it checks out, he can make introductions to people he knows as potential loan guarantors for your deal. So debt, equity, and potentially loan guarantors. All you need, well, you need to find a deal, obviously. But besides that, you know, the other main components of the deal they can help you out with. So talk to Mark Belsky. His email is mbelsky@easterneq.com and his phone number 212-897-9875. Best ever listeners, how you doing? Welcome to the Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever show. I'm Joe Fairless. This is the world's longest running daily real estate investing podcast. We only talk about the best advice ever. We don't get into any of that fluffy stuff. With us today, Pete Barrow. How you doing, Pete?
Hi, Joe. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. Nice to have you on the show. A little bit about Pete. He is the owner of Parrot Home Buyers. He buys homes anywhere in Indianapolis, takes pride in closing extremely fast, and you can say hi to him at his company website, parrotpropertymanagement.com. So with that being said, Pete, you want to give the best ever listeners a little bit more about your background and your current focus?
Sure, Joe. I should start by saying I'm one of the owners. It's myself and my two sons, Sam and Isaac. But our background is this. We all lived in the Maryland suburbs of D.C. I lived there for 35 years, and I was a cabinet maker, carpenter, handyman. And I always daydreamed about getting into rental properties back before it was cool even, but on the East Coast, the costs are very high. I'm sure everybody knows. My older son, Sam, always wanted to leave the area anyway, so he saved up his pennies, he quit his job, and he just started driving around the country for a place he might like. I don't actually know anyone who ever did that, but he just drove to cities and spent some time there. And I thought it was kind of strange that he settled on Indy, but I came out here and saw it and really loved it too. It's affordable. The people are nice. My son is a tech guy, so he ran all the numbers and he said the economy is steady and reliable. Never booms, it never busts. So he bought a beautiful little house out here for about a fifth what it would have cost in D.C. And then we bought another, a foreclosure, and then we bought another. And he's a web design guy, and he was building his own little company at the time. So he would just sit on the couch all day with his parrot on his shoulder and work building up his company. I started coming out here spending 4 or 5 months a year working on the houses. And then Sam's younger brother, Isaac, moved out here too. He'd been managing a family pizza place, and that turned out to be useful. Now, here's the good part. I was back in Maryland finishing up a job for a longtime customer, and she just spontaneously asked me if we could use some money for our rental business. I called Sam, and he found a package of 13 of these beautiful old Midwestern four-square duplexes in a nice upcoming area. And my old customer bought them, and we managed them and repaired them and shared the profit. So that was the beginning of Parrot, which started out as a property management company just for those properties. Now, we also found a package of four other duplexes at the same time, which my son resold and made 20 grand, which we all found astonishing. And then that's where we realized that wholesaling was a thing. And so my son started working at building that up. Over the next year or so, my old customer started to realize that real estate is not as passive as everyone says. He wanted to take his profits, so we bought a bunch of those duplexes back from him. So they made a nice pile of money. We got 20 units in one bite, and we discovered wholesaling. So that was a pretty good year. And then, again, what made it work was me just knowing these people forever and them having some trust in me, and my son being very good at digging up off-market deals, and then my younger son being very good at management. And
how are
we just started. Sorry, go ahead.
I didn't mean to interrupt. Feel free to.
No, I'll talk all day if you don't interrupt.
So. Well, that's why.
You better stop this thing.
That's why you're a good interview guest. That's great. It's much easier to work with someone who can talk versus the opposite whenever it's an audio interview. How is your son finding these duplexes, like for example, the package of four where the profit was 20K.
All those duplexes actually came from another wholesaler. And like I said, most of them we wound up buying, and four of them he resold. Things were a whole lot cheaper just a couple of years ago, so there was still room to buy from a wholesaler and then wholesale on to someone else. It's getting a little harder to dig up things like that.
And speaking of getting harder to get deals like that, how are you all currently doing it since it is more challenging?
We do the usual unimaginative stuff like send out postcards. I think we sent 100,000 postcards so far this year, not all to the same person, to different people. But we also go to meetups and we network and we just try to meet everybody. But we're also doing a lot more sort of boots on the ground stuff. Some of our best deals, in fact. I was sitting in a restaurant 6 months ago, and I overheard some guy talking on the phone, and it became obvious he was talking to a tenant who was trying to buy his house. And the tenant was not coming through, and he was getting frustrated. And I just went over and introduced myself and gave him a card. I didn't think we'd get the house. I thought he would be a guy who'd sell retail, but I just sat there and talked to him about real estate for like an hour and told him everything I could that I thought would help him. Well, he called up and sold us the house, and we made like 20 grand on it. So that paid for my sandwich. And a little... Since that happened, my sons expect me to do that every day.
Yeah,
I've never done it
at lunch, right? It's a $20,000 lunch.
Mostly at lunch. I just want to sit there and eat my sandwich and not be bothered. But it is part of my role now to just go around and talk to people, and I'm doing quite a lot of that. I've made it a habit now. When I'm sitting in a restaurant, if it's at all possible to go over and introduce myself to the table of old guys that look like they might own houses and want to leave town, I'll go do that.
And what do you do? Will you describe that scenario in detail for how you make that happen?
Well, let's see. I was in a little grill the other day downtown, and there were these four old guys sitting talking, and they were all hilarious. And I forget what one of them said. Oh, one of them was talking about how he knew some people who dug a well on their property and something went wrong with the well. And after a while, I went over and I said, hey, I didn't mean to be listening in, but we had a house that was fed by a spring when I was a kid. And at one point, it started poisoning us all. Of course, when you get sick, you want to drink more water. So that took a while to figure out what was really wrong. But that was a way to start a conversation. And don't try this if you're not the type of person, but I like talking to people anyway. That's one of the nice things about this town. If you try to do this in some places, I think you're going to get rudely rebuffed. Mm-hmm. But in Indy, I've been astonished how easy it is just to go up to people and say, hey, how'd you get those azaleas to look so good? And they'll just stop and talk to you. Mm-hmm. And that makes this a whole lot easier.
When you were in the restaurant having your $20,000 sandwich, what did you do to introduce yourself to the gentleman who you thought was talking to his tenant who was looking to buy the house but didn't end up doing it?
I don't remember. I think I just went over and apologized up front. I'm sorry to eavesdrop, but this is a tiny little room. It was hard not to just hear that conversation, and we're landlords too, and I don't remember how I eased into it. But it must have been fairly slick. Yeah. So.
Of course, of course. Totally smooth operator. So you and your two sons, who does what again?
Well, my job has been, because I was a carpenter forever, my job has been to fix up our new acquisitions and help maintain our old acquisitions. And that's not just me. We have a really good little crew of two who make it easy. But now I'm supposed to be transitioning into the public face of Parrot, which is going around bothering people in restaurants and going to meetups and stuff. Mm-hmm. My older son, Sam, is sort of the idea guy who kind of just paces the floor all the time and then wakes you up at 2 a.m. to tell you what he's figured out. He's the one who kind of comes up with stuff. And he's also a technical wizard, and he's written a lot of software that we use to mine the data. I think he said some of that he's going to make available to the public. If people are interested, go on our website and inquire. But that's his role. And then my younger son, Isaac, who had management experience, he does the books, he shows the units, he does the leasing, he handles all the calls, and it's incredibly nice to have that in-house because nobody cares more about you getting a good tenant than you do. And once he took that over completely, problems with tenants just about completely ceased. So he's very good at keeping our stuff full and keeping good people in there and managing the problems.
In anything in particular that he did that you're aware of that helped with quality residents?
Let me mention also, he does all the wholesaling. He does every bit of that, from going and looking at the houses, dealing with the sellers, dealing with the buyers. What did he do to get quality residents? He finds them on social media a lot, which I have no understanding of even what that is. I just know the word social media, and I'm supposed to say that. But he just screens them. It's not that hard now to find out everything a person ever did. You can do these skip trace reports. I don't know if that's what he does, but you can, for $10, you can get a 150-page printout that tells you every car someone ever drove, every right. phone number they ever had. And so he looks at rental history and income, and especially evictions and felonies and stuff.
With your role in the company, generating the leads, as well as you used to be the primary point person for fixing them up and overseeing the team, what was a challenging project that you worked on?
Well, we're in the middle of two of them right now, and they're just dragging on forever, which doesn't speak too well for me. We bought a hoarder house, which was, I can't say literally to the ceiling, because to me, literally means literally, and it was a couple of feet short of the ceiling. But we found stuff in there that I wouldn't even ask my crew to touch. It was just too nasty to
what was
ask
it?
Someone to do. Can I say on the air, a
you
bucket of a big plastic bin full of fermented urine.
Okay.
Actually, one of my crew had to help me carry that out, and it sloshed all over our boots. But just food that had been in bags for 3 months and stuff. But the house was great. It was beautiful and solid. It was in a real promising neighborhood that's already nice and that is coming up, that sort of stylish people are moving into. not super stylish, but it's just a really good solid house. And it's also, it's a two bedroom with one floor and a full unfinished basement and a full unfinished attic. It's very easy to get into a house like that and totally redo the plumbing and wiring and just deal with all the problems and then not hear any maintenance calls. Most of the ones that we get to go in and go over like that, we just get really almost no maintenance calls. That's what I like. Mm-hmm. We want to grow a much bigger portfolio. We want to get to 100 houses, 150 doors.
How many are you at now?
42 doors, I think.
Okay. That hoarder house, how much did you buy it for?
11 grand.
11K. What are you putting into it?
Well, my son was yelling at me about this the other day. I think we'll probably be into it for a total of 55 to 60 when we're done.
Okay.
Part of that is a new air conditioner, and we're going to have to tear the driveway up and do it. That's 10 grand right there.
And then what's it going to sell for? Or are you holding on to it?
We're going to keep it. The stuff we redo is we redo for ourselves. Everything we buy and sell, we just replace it. We're going to keep it. We could probably sell it for 75 to 80. So we didn't get a huge bargain on it. But what we've got now for less than market value, we've got a house that will need zero maintenance for many years.
Mm-hmm.
You really can't buy that.
Is the model you wholesale houses, get chunks of cash, then take that cash and reinvest it into buying fix and hold properties?
Something like that. It's all a little sloppier than that right now because we're too busy to really be that precise about what we're doing. But yes, we're getting money from the rentals. We're getting money from the wholesales. We're pulling it out to our, distributing it to ourselves and then putting it back into the process of acquiring and fixing up more stuff. And it seems to work. The stuff we want to get, I love getting these little places that are really in terrible shape and then go in and just basically start it. We don't strip them and, you know, we don't gut them, but being able to redo all the mechanicals, everything that moves in the house, every wire, every pipe, every light switch, every light fixture, every water faucet, everything that can go bad is pretty much new and decent quality. So that's our model.
You mentioned two projects. Maybe I missed it. You said the hoarder house.
No, you didn't miss it. There's another one that we got that is in a wonderful spot. It's worth a lot more than we paid for it, but it's in a floodway. Just the last 3 feet of the yard is in a floodway. And I can't really say it's been a problem because right now I'm at the stage not of doing anything about it, but of just dreading doing anything about it because I know I'm going to be spending a lot of time walking from one office to the other, making phone calls to try to get it straight that we can abate that by filling it in somehow. Also, it has no driveway, and right up in front of the house is a bike path. So people have told me, you can't do that. Other people have told me, yeah, you can, but you need to get an engineer and get a drainage plan. So I'm thinking between those two things, I'm going to spend 100 hours just walking from one office to the next. Now, maybe not. Bureaucracy is not as bad here as it is in a lot of places. You can go get your driver's license renewed in 10 minutes. It's a lot nicer here.
Based on your experience, what is your best real estate investing advice ever?
Well, it would be a generality. First of all, what I said about this house I got at the restaurant, just start locally. If you're trying to be a new wholesaler, which I assume a lot of listeners are, you know, start with your own community. Start with people you know. There's probably some little old lady who wants to sell her house and move back to Alabama. That's the specific. But just in general, just be calm and don't get too excited. Don't go to these meetups where people stand up and pump their fists and scream financial freedom. It's just a business like any other, and you work really hard to get good at it. It's a lot of work and a lot of different little skills.
What's a smart area to put work into and focus into if you're in your business?
Not sure what you mean.
Where do you spend time that is effective in your business?
I guess that's kind of what I'm learning right now. I've been avoiding the business side and just doing the fix-up work. And my sons have been pleading with me to go out and develop the business. And what they say is meeting people, going around and developing relationships with people. So, yeah, I would say it's a good way to spend time. And that could be anything from going to meetups where you'll meet mostly buyers to just walking around the streets and going in stores and dropping cards. It might be where you'll find the sellers. That's the kind of thing I'm working on now.
The last deal that you got under contract, How did you find that property?
We do so much stuff. I don't know what the last deal we did was, but the last deal we bought, we just got it from a postcard. That's not very exciting, I know, but we got it from a postcard. Woman just wanted to get rid of it and move into a condo. We got a very good deal on it.
Do you remember the numbers?
We paid 20 for it. We don't go into the hot new area and buy stuff right in the center of it. We don't have the money to do that on a big scale, but both my sons have an encyclopedic knowledge of the city and all the areas. So we're finding stuff that's right on the fringe of those places, right in between two of them, or right in the path of where the good stuff is. And this fits that description perfectly. It's right on the fringe of a neighborhood called Irvington, which is very nice and very hip.
You're buying it for $20K. How much are you putting into it?
We're not going to put too much into this one right away because we've got too many other things in fix-up mode right now. We're probably going to spend $8,000 or $10,000 just getting it decently rentable.
And, what's
and then
it
we'll
for?
Just probably $8,000 or $9,000.
Wow.
So we'll have $30,000 into it.
Yeah, $800 for $30,000 house. That's really good.
Yeah. Well, that's the funny thing. A lot of investors here, you know, pouring money in here from California, and they're just delighted that they can meet the 1% rule. We have a lot of places that are like that. The monthly rent is 3% of the total cost. Mm-hmm. It's not easy to find stuff like that. But if you're wholesaling, you're looking at hundreds of houses, you're maybe buying and selling 70 or 80 a year, then you keep one or two.
The hoarder house, you're all in for $60K. What's it going to rent for?
That one, we also think $800 or $900. I think $900 might be a little high, but probably $8.
Okay. We're going to do a lightning round. You ready for the best ever lightning round?
I don't know, Joe. I guess just let's find out.
We'll just throw ourselves into it just, and see what takes place.
Put me to the test.
First, a quick word from our best ever partners. Do you need debt for your deal, equity for your deal, or maybe a loan guarantor to help you get qualified for the financing? Talk to Mark Belsky. His number is 212-897-9875. That's 212-897-9875. His email is mbelsky@easterneq.com. Are you looking to get started in multifamily investing or looking to grow your portfolio? Nathan Tabor has created an online course that is slammed with incredibly useful and practical information. Check it out at apartments.nathantabor.com. What's the best book you've read recently?
I assume you want a business book. I don't read a
whatever,
lot of
any
books.
Book.
Well, the best book that's even mildly relevant, I read a biography of Rockefeller. It's called Titan, which was terrific. What that guy did, and starting from less than nothing, is amazing. Not only what he did for himself, but what he did to build up the country. All those 19th century robber barons did wonderful things for all of us, not just for themselves.
Best ever deal you've done that we have not talked about already?
We've got a little place sort of out toward the suburbs, but not quite. You know, there's nothing to distinguish this house. I don't know why it worked out so well, but the guy was highly motivated. He was happy to get his $20,000, and somebody was delighted to buy it for $50,000, so everyone was happy. So there's a $30,000 deal. I don't have any million-dollar deals to talk about.
What was his motivation?
Fast. I don't really know. I think he was old, and I think he had some kind of drug problem. I'm not really sure.
What's a mistake you've made on a transaction?
A mistake? Probably the one I was telling you about, the one that's in the floodway and the driveway problem. We're going to have a lot more money in that house than we should, but it's probably still worth twice what we're going to have in it. So that's not a very bad mistake. I think there's one deal we actually lost money on, and we lost like $500. So that counts as our worst deal. We just bought this little one-bedroom double because it was cheap, and we didn't stop to think about whether anyone else was going to want it.
Mm.
It was just cheap, so that was the early days. So $500 loss for your worst deal, and that's...
Take that all
day
long.
It can be worse than that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
What's the best ever way you like to give back?
I think the business itself is a way of giving back. We hire people, we buy stuff from people who want to sell it, and we sell it to people who want to buy it, and we provide nice places for tenants, and we put them in good shape, and we maintain them, and everyone gets along. So, I don't know. I guess I should have something better than that, but maybe that's what I got from this Rockefeller book. He amassed billions of dollars, but when he started his business, kerosene cost 58 cents. And by the time he got done, it cost 7 cents a gallon. And that was a huge blessing to a working person in an era when a working person made a dollar a day. So that's the thing about capitalism. If you're doing it right, you're not just getting some money. You're providing something people want.
Best way the best ever listeners can get in touch with you.
You can get a website at parrotpropertymanagement.com. You can call us at 317-202-1211. That'll get you directly to my son, Isaac.
Thank you so much for being on the show and talking about your experiences, how you and your two sons have formed this company and roles, responsibilities, some challenging things that you've come across, having buckets of pee splashed on you at the hoarder house, to some better things where you have $20,000 sandwiches. So certainly went from one end of the spectrum to another.
Well, thank you for having me. You're a terrific interviewer. You make it easy. You might be the best ever interviewer.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. And I am grateful that you're on the show and talking about, in addition to those extreme examples, talking about one lesson is that $500 loss. You bought it because it was cheap, and cheap doesn't mean necessarily good, plus the opportunity cost with your time. So there's probably more to the loss than that. But when you apply that lesson to future projects, then it's awesome because now you've saved time because you've learned that lesson. And that's why I love doing these interviews, because now if a best ever listener is considering a super cheap house just because it's cheap, doesn't necessarily mean it's a good opportunity, and perhaps this story can save them from something similar. So thanks so much for being on the show. Hope you have a best ever day. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Jeff.
Are you looking to get started in multifamily investing or looking to grow your portfolio? Nathan Tabor has created an online course that is slammed with incredibly useful and practical information. Check it out at apartments.nathantabor.com.